KSL at night. KSL at night.
Good evening and welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Leah Murray and we are talking about all the most interesting things. So artificial intelligence, don't you just feel like we must be in the age of when we decided to start driving cars and all of the people who made carriages and whatever connected a horse to a carriage must have just been completely freaking out, right? Like, so what's going to happen to my carriage industry because this car is going to automate all of that? A little bit, listeners, I feel the conversations around artificial intelligence reveal quite a bit of the angst when an industry changes, right? So if it is the case that I can now automate a lot of work that I'm doing, what labor, what sectors of our industry, what's going to mostly be hurt by that? And the Deseret News has got a great article. You really should read it to dive into what's going on. Let me just give you kind of top of line takeaways. The answer is that about 30% of current working hours in the U.S. economy could become AI automated by 2030. And a recent Pew Research analysis found that about 20% of workers could have high exposure to AI. By the way, that doesn't mean they're being displaced. It just means maybe AI is going to be a major part of their job or maybe could lead to displacement. When we're thinking about that, there's a couple of business sectors that we're talking about. When we're thinking about healthcare, right? Mental health, like talking to a therapist, probably can't be AI, so that's probably safe. But, you know, maybe doing all of the coding, right? And all the things that you might write down that you're submitting to health insurance companies, that might become automated. When we think about law, you all know that I have picked on our own Greg Skordas, KSL's legal analyst, about like, what do I need a lawyer for? I could just go into ChatGPT and have them write that brief for me. And what are the value adds? And the answer maybe is because lawyers don't just tell you what the law says. They actually help you make some decisions, right? So the lawyers might still be there. Creative professionals. In an interview with Fortune, Adobe senior vice president was talking about how AI won't necessarily end graphic design jobs, right? So the answer is not, like, I love this reference, right? They're like, just because we invented a camera doesn't mean we stopped painting, right? So again, when we change the industry, doesn't necessarily change everything. But as you all know, I'm in higher education and we have had conversations up on my campus about AI. A lot of what I deal with my colleagues is, man, can you ever have the exam just be like a 10-page essay ever again, right? Because the answer is a smart student can feed into any kind of ChatGPT the prompt you gave them and maybe get an excellent answer right back. And you as the professor might have a hard time figuring that out. To help me kind of answer these questions, we've brought in Peter Stone, who is a professor of computer science at the University of Texas at Austin. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
All right. So first of all, you can correct anything that I just said that might have been wrong because you're a computer science professor, which makes me feel like you probably know a lot more about AI than I do. Are there any industries that you're thinking, oh, no, like that one you said is totally going to be in trouble? Or are there ones I didn't mention? Like, what do you want to add to that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't think about it as industries being in trouble. I would think of it as industries transforming or changing. As you said, you know, this is not the first time in history that technology has changed the jobs landscape. And, you know, so those carriage manufacturers from when cars were invented, the people who went into that probably went into something else a generation later or a few years later. And I think, you know, that's the same thing that's going to happen. There used to be a lot more people who washed dishes than before dishwashers were invented. So same kind of thing. I think that a lot of jobs will, there are AI technologies that the jobs will transform and make it so that people need different skills to do the jobs. But I think, you know, and there will be also new jobs created. And you know, that all, you know, there's a lot of people employed by factories that make dishwashers. I think, you know, that same kind of thing. It's very easy for people to get sort of, you know, concerned about losing the status quo. But, you know, hopefully and historically, technologies have improved productivity and, you know, made the whole economy work more smoothly and more efficiently. And hopefully that'll happen here as well.
All right. So let's dive into our, you know, mutual industry of education. Can you talk to us about, I guess, first, let me ask you, there's a lot of angst on my campus around artificial intelligence and what it's going to do. And I feel like mostly from philosophy professors, right? Because the way they did things were big, long essays. And their worry is, do we have to kind of go back to oral exams? Do you feel like that angst is warranted? Like, what are we talking about there?
No, actually, I think it's all the sort of angst about people, students cheating is a little bit of a red herring, because that's not new, right? I mean, those same philosophy professors, if they assigned a 10-page essay, their students could have already gone and, you know, paid a fair amount, a little bit of money to have somebody else write the essay for them. Or they could have, and, you know, that may have been even less detectable than using ChatGPT. The ability and propensity for students to cheat is sort of, I think, roughly the same as it was before. There's a little bit of barrier removed. You know, it's a little easier to use these tools. But, you know, the point of education is to improve your brain. And, you know, the students, the analogy that I like is, you know, the football player whose coach tells them to go and you know, lift a set of weights 20 times isn't going to go and get a machine to lift the weights 20 times for them, because that would defeat the purpose. The purpose of lifting the weights was to improve their muscles. The purpose of doing that assignment was to improve your brain. And if, you know, if students want to cheat, they're mainly cheating themselves. That does leave professors in sort of the position of, do we want to police cheating and say, you know, we're going to catch it and punish it? Or do we want to, sort of let cheating be its own punishment? But I don't think that's a new question or a new phenomenon. There has been cheating, and if you want to be sure that an essay is written by a person, yes, it has to be an in-class essay or an oral exam. But I think that was the case before ChatGPT as well.
All right. And I liked how you talked earlier about it's going to transform industries. And in the article I was reading, you were quoted as saying that it will transform teachers' jobs, right? So you've got this quote about a teacher's ability to watch the student, to adjust the curriculum when students aren't adjusting. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you think specifically that might look like in a classroom?
Sure. I mean, personalized education, I mean, is, you know, something that we can look forward to. In a teacher in a large class has to sort of teach to the median, right? You want to make sure that the students in the middle are doing, you know, are following the material. That could leave a few students at the bottom of the class struggling to keep up. It could leave some students at the top of the class completely bored. But being able to, you know, to sort of have more personalized or individualized education could make it so that each student is challenged at exactly the right level for them. And, you know, that would be a big win for teachers in the classroom. And I think that's something that becomes more feasible with, you know, some recent AI technologies. And I think some standardized tests have gone to this as well. It's no longer the case that if you take some standardized tests online, it's no longer the case that everybody gets the same questions. It's, you know, if you answer a question right, you get some harder questions. You answer a question wrong, you get some easier questions. But, you know, that could be happening more and more, you know, seamlessly in every classroom.
No, I love that. And I was thinking, one of the things I do in my own classroom, Peter, is there's a lot of conversation. And I always am thoughtful about who might not be, how do I say, answering as much, right? Because students can really mm-hmm. dominate in a conversation style. So I hear you, and maybe there's some kind of AI technology I could deploy, right? That would kind of track, I don't know, like how many words are said, right? Then you could say to a student, man, you are eating up a lot of time. Could you just back off? But you've got data like to talk about it.
I think the other important point is that, AI technologies are things that we need to, yes, it can cause angst, like that it might make evaluating what students know more difficult, but it's also sort of a responsibility for us to teach students how to use these tools responsibly. When they leave, when they graduate, when they go out to the workforce, employers are going to expect them to know how to use and when to use and when not to use, right? So you talked about, you know, lawyers having LLMs write the briefs for them, but that famously went wrong for a lawyer last year who sort of trusted it, didn't verify that it was not making things up, and indeed it was making things up as they're wont to do. And so, you know, it's important that our students know how to use them to maybe improve the fluency of their language, of their writing, but but also know how to double check and how to you know, make sure that when they're consulted, that they're also verified.
Professor Peter Stone, computer science at the University of Texas at Austin, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening to KSL at Night. We'll see you next time.